Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Osisko Gold Royalties Q3 2017 results conference call. After the presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please pick up your receiver and press the star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Please note that this call is being recorded today, November 9th, 2017, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Today on the call, we have Mr. Sean Rosen, Chair of the Board of Directors and Chief Executive Officer of Osisko Gold Royalties, and Ms. Elif Lévesque, Chief Financial Officer and Vice President of Finance. I would now like to turn the meeting over to our host for today's call, Mr. Sean Rosen, Chair of the Board of Directors and Chief Executive of Osisko Gold. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, et bienvenue à l'appel conférence du troisième trimestre de 2017 de redevances. Audified Osisko Limité. Après la présentation, nous procéderons à une session de questions et réponses. Si vous désirez poser une question, veuillez décrocher la combinaison du téléphone et appuyer sur la touche étoile suivie du numéro 1. Veuillez prendre note que cet appel est enregistré aujourd'hui, le 9 novembre 2017, à 10 heures de l'Est. Nous avons sur l'appel M. Sean Rosen, président du conseil d'administration et chef de la direction de la redevance Orifère Osisko, et Mme Elif Lévesque, chef de la direction financière et vice-président aux finances. J'aimerais maintenant céder la parole à votre hôte, M. Sean Rosen, président du conseil d'administration et chef de la direction de redevance Orifère Osisko.
Merci, operator. J'espère que tout le monde attend bien. Je me trouve dans l'aéroport de Zurich aujourd'hui. Alors, s'il y a un peu de bruit en arrière de moi, je m'excuse d'avance. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the third quarter call. I find myself at the Zurich airport this morning, so I apologize for any background noise that we may have, but quite proud to present the Q3 results for 2017. The results for the Osisko Gold Royalties have been quite spectacular over the evolution of the first 3 years, and I think that Q3 was an extremely transformative session of business that we conducted with over $1.1 billion of assets acquired from the Orion portfolio, consisting of 74 royalties, streams, and precious metal offtakes, including a 9.6% diamond stream on the Renard Diamond Mine and a 4% gold stream on the Bruce Jack Gold Project and the Gold and Silver Mine. Both are new mines in Canada, in addition to the 100% silver stream that we acquired on the Mantos Blancos copper mine in Chile. And just by way of formalities, we are referring to the PowerPoint that is on our website, and page 2 of that PowerPoint has a cautionary forward-looking statement clause that should be read, as we will be making some forward-looking statements as we get further into the presentation. We also declared a 5-cent per common share dividend payable on October 16, 2017, to shareholders of record. And I'm very happy to see that this represents a 25% increase in our previous quarter dividend. And we are very happy that, as a young company, only it's a little over 3 years in existence, we've been able to pay a dividend pretty much every quarter that we've existed. Subsequent to the end of Q3 in 2017, we've been very busy as well. As of November 3rd, we closed a bought deal offering on a convertible unsecured debenture for $300 million to reinforce our treasury to allow us to continue to carry on with our business. And on November 8th, 2017, we declared the dividend of 5 cents per share. And also on November 8th, we've announced the U.S. $65 million gold stream and private placement to Aquila Resources. More details on that as we look at slide 4. It represents $55 million gold stream. Reference to Aquila's flagship Back 40 project in Michigan, USA. Osisko is entitled to an 18.5% payable gold to 105,000 ounces delivered, and 9.25% after that for the life of mine. Staged upfront deposit payable predetermined by the project milestones and ongoing payments equal to about 30% of the spot price gold to a maximum of $600 an ounce. concurrent to a $10 million private placement in the equity holdings of Aquila, which gives us roughly 15% ownership in the company after that transaction is concluded. We also are adding this to our 75% silver stream on the back 40 that we acquired through the purchase of our Orion deal. So this is a deal that we have added to from our Orion package, and that we have looked at what we already own and added to the investment there. So pretty significant for us in terms of taking what we already did with the Orion transaction and building on that opportunity. In terms of what it represents for us, significant streaming interest in an advanced North American project, with Michigan being one of the better jurisdictions to look at development as far as we are concerned, having already made an investment in Highland Copper. We are familiar with the jurisdiction and we like what we see. Midterm cash flow is a pretty simple project, quite high grade. Upside potential for further exploration on the project, and it keeps a focus of Osisko's low-risk jurisdictions here in North America. And it also adds value to the existing silver stream that we have on the project. The execution on new pipeline of opportunities acquired through Orion continues to be a main theme as we look forward to the rest of the year. Page 5 gives you a basic summary of the project. I won't go into too much detail here, but we are looking at a pretty significant asset with a major exposure to zinc and to gold. Zinc has been quite strong as of recent, and we think that there's quite a bit of upside in the zinc space as we look forward to where we are. And this represents, about 1 billion pounds of zinc, a million ounces of gold, and just a tick under 12 million ounces of silver in the existing resource. So I think, it's a pretty good stepping stone for us and a project that we like and we know well. Total payable production to us is on 532,000 ounces of gold and 4.6 million ounces of silver. So on that note, we have time in the Q&A for any more questions that we might have on the Aquila transaction. I'm going to pass it over to Elite Levesque to give you insight on our Q3 results and some of the things that are unique to the quarter due to the transactions that we have executed during the period. Elite, over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. So, yeah, we did have a very busy third quarter with the Orion transaction closing on July 31st. With the acquisition, we also inherited an international structure. So part of the quarter was based on setting up that office. And we also hired Michael Spencer, who was previously at Maxit Capital, and he will be actually leading our international business from our office in Bermuda. Due to the first quarter end, the first quarter end after the acquisition of the Orion transaction, we have some impact, of course, on the quarterly results. The earnings and GEOs reflect actually 2 months from the Orion assets, and we still did record quarterly gold equivalent ounces earned at 16,664, of which about 5,500 ounces were from Orion, which represents a 65% increase compared to the same period last year. If you look at the quarterly revenues, we also have record quarterly revenues for the quarter from royalties and streams at $26.1 million compared to $17.6 million in the same period last year. And here, I mean, we look at it at the revenues, especially before the offtakes. If we put in the offtakes, we're even actually looking at higher revenues at $68.2 million. And I will just take a second here to kind of explain the offtakes a little bit, because they do change the numbers slightly. In the sense that the way these precious metal offtakes work that we purchase from Orion, they basically give us a window of a quotation period from 6 days to about 12 days where we can actually select the lower price of gold within that period, and then we actually go and sell those ounces. So at the end of the day, we make a 0 to 5% profit margin out of this. So we internally look at this on a net earnings basis. But for accounting purposes, we have to actually show the revenues and the cost of goods sold separately, and that's why you see substantial increase in the revenues for the quarter. So even without those offtakes, we're looking at a 48% increase in the revenues for the 2-month periods from Orion. Net cash flows provided by operating activities at $1.1 million compared to $15 million in the same period last year. And again, here we had some unusual items. We had about $8 million due to transaction costs of Orion that were accrued during the period. We also have, for the first time, in RSU payments, we have, since our initiation of the company, it's the first RSU payment that we have actually completed. The first RSUs were given in 2014, which vested in 3 years, and in September 2017, they actually vested, so there was a payment of $5.5 million on those RSUs. And we also had about $7 million inventories from the Orion transaction due to the offtakes and the end of the quarter. Without these unusual items, we would be probably more looking at a $22 million level operating cash flow, which would represent about 45% increase during compared to the same quarter last year. Net earnings attributable to Osisko shareholders were at $6.7 million, 5 cents a share, compared to $17.8 million, 17 cents a share. And adjusted earnings were at $8 million, 6 cents a share, compared to $12 million, 11 cents a share. And again, here, of course, with the Orion transaction, we saw about a $50 million increase in our shares outstanding, which kind of reflected on the per share results. And I will probably go into a little bit more detail on the earnings in some of the following slides. Slide 7 will show you again the increase in the GEOs and our guidance. So we did actually we had an effective date on the Orion transaction of 1st of June 2017. So the June and July actually ounces were for Osisko. However, since the transaction closed on July 31st, those ounces got accounted for in the purchase price equation. So it's basically a reduction to the purchase price of the transaction itself on the balance sheet, and that's why you're seeing just 2 months in our GEOs. And in terms of guidance, last quarter we had given you guidance with a little bit of a larger, I guess, bracket, in since that it was our first experience this year with the Orion assets, with about 38,000 ounces already for the first 9 months of 2017. We still believe that we're going to be within the guidelines for 2017. Slide 8 is basically a split by commodity. You will see after the Orion transaction, we're still heavily invested in precious metals. And if we look at our GEOs for the third quarter, we see that we're 86% precious metals and we have 12% in diamonds. The next slide shows the revenue evolution and also the net cash flow from operating activities. We also saw in this year compared to last year, the same period, a reduction in the gold price. Gold was lower about 10%. We did, however, slightly beat the market. Our realized price was at $1,296 versus a $1,278 of PM average fix. And as I explained, in the third quarter of 2017, we did have some unusual items in the cash flows, but we should see improvements in the next quarter without those unusual items. I guess without going over one by one, I think we did touch base with most of these, but I do want to talk about the gross profit here. You will see the depreciation, the depletion amounts increasing compared to last quarter. Of course, that's basically related to the Orion transaction. And you will also see that net earnings are $6.87 million compared to $18 million last year. There are several reasons to that. One of them, the one that I mentioned, related to the transaction cost of Orion, which represent about $8 million. They also had some foreign exchange losses this quarter of $8 million compared to some gains last year. So again, if we look at the earnings without those unusual items, we would be actually looking at over 40% increase compared to last year. We thought that it would be important to give you a breakdown in terms of the type of interest that we have. So on the next page, 11, you will see a breakdown of the royalties, streams, and offtakes. And you will see separately the revenues, cost of sales, and depletion information, as well as the gross profit. And I think what I would like to show you here is that if we look at the royalties and the streams, then the revenues for those two items would represent $26.5 million compared to the $17.6 million last year. And if you look at the gross profit margin for those two line items alone, we're looking at a 59% gross profit compared to revenues, and I think that's probably an important one to look at. And in terms of the offtakes, you will see here the large amount in the revenues and the cost of sales, as I mentioned earlier, which gives us a gross profit before depletion of $0.7 million, which represents about $20 US per ounce of a profit for us, which represents about $25 an ounce in Canadian. And I think that's probably the way that we should look at these offtake agreements. Page 12 shows from the beginning of the dividends in Q4 2014 until now. Last quarter, we increased our dividends to 5 cents per share per quarter, and we repeated that this quarter as well. Of course, the idea is to be able to keep growing the dividends as we see an increase in the operating cash flows. On page 13, some of the balance sheet items. As of September 30th, we also gave you the information on a pro forma basis with the convertible debenture financing as of September 30th, so which basically would bring our cash and the cash equivalents with an increase of about $289 million to almost $400 million, and the debt will be increasing from about $194 million to about $462 million, and the increase in the debt is somehow lower than the increase in the cash flow because there's also going to be an equity component of the debentures based on the convertibility option. And our fair value of our investments as of September 30 stood at about $420 million. So with that, Sean, I would like to give the call back to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Alif. And we can have a more in-depth discussion on the Q&A period if there are some issues that are unclear. A lot of moving parts in this quarter. But on to slide 14. We do want to highlight the fact that we are a North American-based focused asset group, and we've had quite a few high-quality assets within our portfolio. We have been focused on building quality in the asset base, and now with the addition of the Orion assets, we have some exposure on the international side on what I believe are quite significant and high-quality assets as well. I won't go through them in all detail, but Canadian Malartic continues to be our our cornerstone asset with 5% top-line royalty at Canadian Malartic, which is still Canada's largest gold producer. Most recently, the 9.6 stream from Renard and the 2.3% stream that we have on Éléonore continues to ramp up. And as we look forward, we see quite a bit of development in our favor, also at Mantos, where I think the management team there is advancing that project in a way that's going to be very valuable to Osisko Gold Royalty shareholders. And on to the next slide, on slide 15, our accelerator and near-term asset companies continue to deliver a lot of value to shareholders. We have over 870,000 meters of drilling ongoing on our royalty-held lands, and our royalty royalties and streams, as well as our equity position in our accelerator companies, have had a very good year in 2017 so far to date, led by Windfall, where we own a 1.5% royalty already. We also own 15% of the equity in the company, and that company has seen a significant increase in value from $10 million to over $750 million in market cap. We've also seen Falco Resources recently delivered a feasibility study with just a tick under $700 million U.S. dollars of NPV in measured and indicated and proven and probable reserves, giving that project around 6.7 million ounces gold equivalent. So quite a significant milestone for that company and one of the catalysts and one of the foundations of our accelerator model. We've also seen significant drill results delivered by Barkerville Gold in the Cariboo District in British Columbia, where we own a 2.25% royalty, and it continues to be one of the stronger exploration and development stories as we get further into unlocking the value on that and taking advantage of that. Most recently, I just spent the weekend, last weekend, visiting the Lydian assets, Amsler, where we see good progress in the Republic of Armenia, developing that heap leach asset, and we expect production to start there next summer. And we have a pretty good exposure there, with 4.2% gold stream, 62% silver stream, and 82% offtake agreement on that project. It is a spectacular asset, and construction is going along quite well, and we expect that to be a great outcome from the Orion acquisition as we move forward. Page 16 really summarizes some of our major assets. The Renard stream, a 9.6% diamond stream, continues to be in ramp up. The company is dealing with some issues at the processing facility in terms of autogenous breaking of diamonds within the circuit, but we believe that that should be resolved over the next couple of quarters as new technology through ore sorting is being introduced to the circuit. We've also seen a spectacular outcome at Brucejack, where we own a 4% stream that does have a buyback on it, but the mine has been ramping up quite nicely, and I've had the good fortune to visit the project earlier in September. And I congratulate the management team at Brucejack for having delivered the mine on time and on budget. And it looks like they're in pretty good stead to deliver on all of their commitments. So we're very happy with that investment. And again, I think that they've done a spectacular job in terms of delivering that mine to the market. Our other next tier of assets would be Island Gold, Gibraltar, Seabee, and Bald Mountain, some of which have had a spectacular outcome this year. In particular, CB has had a great move forward. And we've seen, obviously, Island Gold in an acquisition. So, you know, things are moving forward in our asset base. No further capital required from the Osisko shareholders. But our asset base is getting stronger without any further investment from us. So I think that's the best outcome we could have in terms of development assets. And we congratulate all the management teams involved in moving those projects and those companies forward. Page 17, a bit of a summary. Between South and North America, we have 111 assets out of our 130. So, you know, dominantly in the Americas, with Peru and Chile being our South American jurisdictions. So we believe that Osisko does represent one of the best investment opportunities for safe jurisdiction exposure to the gold price and precious metal sector in the world, and we continue to develop that, and we're looking at what we think is the right size opportunity on the international side to continue to deliver value from those projects into the international side of the business, with Amsler and Sasa having delivered pretty good results so far, and some exposure into Australia as we get further in. If we look at slide 18, we can see that we're scheduled for 81% increase in terms of where we are exposed to North America. We are at 81%, and that gives us a dominant exposure in the Americas. So on that note, I would also like to congratulate the Osisko Gold Royalties team for an extremely heavy year in terms of deals and structures, and having delivered significant results back to the shareholders, and I thank everybody on the Osisko management team on behalf of the board of directors for all the hard work that's gone in to get us where we are to report to you today on the Q3 numbers. And as we look forward to the end of the year, obviously fairly busy times, we think that the company is in good stead and that we have quite a few growth opportunities available to us. And on that note, I'll hand it back to Montreal to look at the Q&A. And please feel free to ask us any questions regarding any of the assets that I've discussed in this quarter. Thank you.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. En ce moment, si vous voulez poser une question, composez l'étoile suivie du numéro un sur votre clavier téléphonique. Veuillez patienter un moment pendant que nous compilons les questions. Your first question comes from the line of Cosmo Chu from CIBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks, Sean and Elith. A few questions for me here. Maybe first off, the accounting is getting a bit complicated here, so maybe we'll start there. In terms of these offtake agreements, which ones were active in Q3, and how will we have been able to calculate the $40 million odd sort of revenue based on those numbers?
Yeah, so for this quarter, we have Brucejack that's active, probably is, one of the major ones.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Matilda in Australia, and we also have the Pearl offtake. So these are kind of the three.
Okay.
The way they work, so we do receive the ounces from the producers on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And the ounces that we do receive are booked as a revenue, and that's why you see the $40-plus million level, right?
Okay.
And then we go back and then we sell those ounces, and that's what makes the cost of goods sold. So we're actually taking physical delivery from the operator for their production, and then we're the ones actually selling them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in terms of the impact, and that's why I mentioned it's probably more meaningful to look at this on a earnings basis, because
mm-hmm.
that's probably going to be more, you know, in terms of modeling, whatnot, going to be more interesting.
Yeah.
What we had for the quarter was about the $20 US per ounce, and you could probably model something between a $20 to $30 range comfortably.
Okay, so $20 an ounce for all three offtakes that are currently active at this point in time.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, cool. And then maybe switching gears a little bit, I think, Sean, as you had mentioned, Renard, you know, there's been some issues since startup. I don't know that asset as well. So based on your knowledge, what's happening there? I guess in your MD&A, you talked about breakage being an issue. I would think that diamonds are pretty hard and hard to break. But what's sort of happening here?
Obviously, it's better that the management of Stornoway addressed that issue technically, but I'll give you my takeaway on it is that there is some harder material within the kimberlite that is recirculating within the crushing and grinding circuit that needs to be removed before it comes in contact with the diamond processing, and they're looking at introducing a ore sorting technology that's been being refined and installed now, and we're hoping that sometime in Q1 or Q2 that will resolve the issue of the recirculating harder material that's been the source of the breakage.
Mm-hmm. Great. So I guess they're using an ore sorting material or a machine blasting off some of that harder, rock, kimberlite rock, and then just using that to resolve the issue.
That's my understanding of it,
okay.
I can't really speak on behalf of the company, but that is our best
that's what you've
best
heard. Okay.
Understanding of it. And, we think that the problem gets resolved.
Mm-hmm.
As you will know, our group was involved in an advisory role throughout the construction of this mine, in particular the mill. So we think that our guys have a pretty good understanding of the processing facility, and we think that the solution is technical.
Mm-hmm. Great. And then maybe one last question from me here in terms of the Bermuda subsidiary that was acquired as part of Orion. It looks like, you're going to be using it more often on a go-forward basis, based on what we saw with the Aquila acquisition today. Is that the plan to, run through or structure all future sort of streaming deals through that subsidiary?
Yeah, I think going forward,
go ahead, Sean. No, go ahead, Elif. Obviously, this is a tax question, so I'll let Elif answer.
Yes.
Well, at the end of the day, yeah, like most of the streams and the offtake agreements that we purchased from the Orion transaction are under that structure, and we inherited it, so it's not a new structure that we actually made. And the only stream that was actually through Canada was the Renard stream.
Mm-hmm.
So going forward, of course, anything that's related to those assets will go through that entity because they're actually that entity's assets, and we'll probably be looking at international deals out of that subsidiary as well.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. That's all I have. Have a good trip, Sean.
Thanks, Cosmo.
Your next question comes from Tony Lesiak from Canaccord Genuity. Your line is open.
Hey, good morning. I was hoping you could provide some longer-term guidance for Mantos, given the mine plan changes we've seen there and the expansion potential for the concentrator.
Yeah, I don't think that I'm really in a position to give you too much insight right now. Tony, I apologize for that, but it is a private company, and they are working on several progress issues there. I think that they've made, obviously quite a bit of progress in terms of establishing the new management structure under the new corporate structure. We had met with management last week and are extremely encouraged with the changes that are made, but I don't think that I can go forward with too much guidance on that other than to say that the status quo is good and any improvements will be better. So that's where I'll have to leave it today.
Okay. I mean, you mentioned a 70% concentrator expansion number. I mean, is that kind of directly associated with attributable silver production?
Joseph, do you want to jump in here? You're more up to speed in terms of what we can discuss on this one, given that it's a private company.
Sure. Joseph DeLeblanc here. That's correct. So they're currently in a debottlenecking process at the concentrator, which is, yielding good results. So I think there's a direct correlation in that increase to the silver production.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks. Strategy question for you, Sean. Is the offtake business really worth the effort? I mean, it's a small part of your NAV, low margin, it's volatile. You got some accounting challenges there. What do you think on that?
I think it's a pretty solid part of our business. We are already set up to handle, precious metal trading, and we have really no extra cost to being in that business. Though I do realize it makes some noise when you're trying to do your quarterly, but it's delivering significant returns to us. And the only time that we actually we would be in a zero revenue position on a stream would be at a stable commodity prices. So as long as we have a little bit of volatility in commodity prices, this is a pretty good source of revenue with relatively low risk. So
okay.
It's not going to be a huge part of our business, but it is going to be what I believe a nice consistent delivery of a little spice in the soup.
Okay. Just on the revenue number that you're showing for the quarter, the 1296, does that include the gains on the offtake side?
The revenues on the income statement does include the offtakes, yes.
So the 1296 realized price that you're quoting includes the some $20 an ounce that you were mentioning?
Exactly.
Okay. And then finally, just on the Aquila transaction, I mean, in your minds, like what are the key issues revolving around that final issuance of that final permit, and any comments on timing?
I'm going to refer this one back to Joe. There's quite a bit of background noise here in Zurich, so Joseph, over to you.
Sure. So, as you know, the company has obtained three of the four major permits that they need to put the mine into production. The last permit they need is a wetlands permit, so there's a very small wetlands on the property. They're in the process now of applying for that permit, and our understanding is that they are, on the current timeline, they expect to receive the permit sometime in Q1. At which point they would also likely issue their final feasibility on the project.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Well, thanks, Tony, and let us know if there's anything else that comes up in your review.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, that's star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Encore, si vous voulez poser une question, c'est l'étoile suivie par le numéro un sur votre clavier téléphonique. Your next question comes from Mike Jalanen from Bank of America. Your line is open.
Oh, thanks. Sean, a strategy question. When Osisko started out, you really made a big statement about being Canada-focused, and now with your Bermuda office, you mentioned going global. So just wondering if this is a natural evolution or buying Orion just kind of stumbled into this. Just wondering what your thinking is.
Well, obviously, Mike, I think we've done a pretty good job of being involved with some of the best and most strategic assets in the precious metal space in Canada. It is obviously our backyard where we operate and where we know things well, and we've continued to make investments in Canada. The most recent press release that we announced today was in Michigan, just across the border. The acquisition of the Orion platform, did afford us to come up with a competitive platform that we can use to invest on the international side. But I still believe that, being dominantly invested in Canada, having the Canadian dollar as a natural hedge in terms of protecting margins on the gold price is still a pretty valid asset to us and to our shareholders. So you can rely on us to stick pretty close to the poutine and maple syrup. As we have in the past, and we'll take our international business to the next level. But as a lot of the people in the team have quite a bit of international experience, so we want to leverage that a bit now that we feel that we've set the stage for our Canadian business, and we'll moderate ourselves on the international side. But we do want to be opportunistic and provide capital to good projects in a competitive environment on the international side. So. It is part of the Orion deal that set the stage for that, but it's not that far out of our natural habitat.
Okay, well, thanks for that. Maybe one more question. If I move to Murdoch Avenue, Falco, I guess it's not Osisko Gold Royalties, maybe you can't answer it, but just wondering, what are they looking for a stream for the finance Horn?
Yeah, we would think that there's a stream there. As you look at our agreements, we actually have a right to propose a stream on that project. And we think that, as we'd said earlier, Mike, the accelerator companies like Falco provide us the opportunity to invest further capital on behalf of the Osisko Gold Royalty shareholders in an environment where we're, very familiar with the assets. And we think that we can be pretty competitive provider of capital. And obviously, this project is in Rouyn-Noranda, Quebec. It's our backyard. It's what we believe is one of the great Canadian mines that'll be built. It has a 15-year mine life with the reserves that are identified in the current mine plan, with another 5 to 10 years of upside. So we think it is a great Canadian asset. It is in Quebec, and we are looking forward to being a provider of capital on that project. And the neighborhood of the kind of financing can be done there. We could see Osisko Royalties as one of the potential providers of capital on a stream that could be worth somewhere between $100 and $200 million. So it is a significant opportunity that is the direct outcome of our accelerator company program.
Okay. Well, thank you. All right.
There are no further questions at this time. I turn the call back over to the presenters.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, and please feel free to reach in. By way of general news, we just went through the Zurich Precious Metal Summit. I think that Osisko had quite a few shareholders here in Europe, and we've updated them, and we continue to develop our business. And I'm quite happy and very pleased with the evolution. 2017 has been one of the busiest years ever for the Osisko Group. And we look forward to finishing up the fourth quarter strongly and competitively as we move forward to continue to establish ourselves as the fourth largest precious metal streaming company in the business, and also to see the strength of our accelerator group come forward and the proof of that business model continue to deliver results. Just as a reminder, our equity positions have a market value of about $420 million right now. And our base cost is about $277 million. So we've had a pretty extraordinary outcome with our accelerator companies, and we continue to look providing about 75% of our investments going to traditional royalty and streaming and offtake agreements, with 25% going into our somewhat unique to us accelerator model as we go forward. Currently, we enjoy the benefit of over 40 drills turning on our royalty-held lands, and we expect to see great drill results and forward motion on a lot of the assets that we are involved with our Osisko Gold Royalty shareholders. And I thank everybody for their support, especially in this last deal where we raised $300 million through the convertible. On that note, thank you very much, and we will talk to you next quarter.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect. Ceci m'a fait notre conférence d'aujourd'hui. Vous pouvez maintenant raccrocher.